Personalised medicine is an area of research that's attracted a lot of hype in recent years. It holds great promise, with the possibility of tailored treatments that can be developed for a whole range of conditions, including cancer. But is this targeted treatment a magic bullet? And can the technology lead to better outcomes for patients? These are big issues for the future of medicine, and Dr. Norman Swan recently tackled them with a panel at the World Science Festival in Brisbane. Here's some of that conversation with Dr. Nick Waddell from the QIMR Berghofer Medical Research Institute and David Bunker from the Queensland Genomics Health Alliance.
So, Nick, just take us through, what is the genome? What are we talking about here before we get on to personalised medicine?
So DNA is basically base pairs, which is the recipe for all cells in your body to be what they are. And so it's a recipe that will tell a cell to turn into hair, to turn into skin, to turn into parts of kidneys and so on. And so it's the recipe book that drives the body. And so it makes a thing called RNA and then proteins and tells the cell what to do. And so we inherit DNA from our mum and our dad. We get a bit of both, and that's why we sometimes thought to look a bit like our mum and our dad sometimes. And the DNA, it kind of gives us, for me, it probably makes my eyes blue. It probably turned my hair grey when I was 15, and so that sort of thing. So it tells us a little bit about ourselves. And so the DNA, it really came into the forefront in the 90s with the Human Genome Sequencing Project. That's where it's decided that we'll try and sequence and try and determine what that recipe was in the human genome and what it is.
It's not one continuous strip, it's in chromosomes.
That's right. So we've got 22 chromosomes, and we also have two sex chromosomes, which are X and Y. So female, XX, male, XY.
We hope.
Yeah.
So when you talk about genomic testing, there's direct-to-consumer stuff that's going on with 23andMe, Ancestry.com, which might cost you $99. You might be a patient at the Princess Alexandra Hospital, you know, at the PA, and you've got cancer, and they're going to do your genome sequence.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of different ways of doing this in different depths. Just describe almost like a consumer guide to genome testing.
So there's very different types of tests, and they're actually quite difficult to ascertain what they're testing sometimes. So if you take Ancestry.com test, all they're doing is they're looking at specific base positions, and so they may assay a few thousand single points in a genome, but these are points that they can use potentially to tell you where your lineage is from.
So they're landmarks.
Very specific points. We call them common polymorphisms. Whereas if you move on to, you can have, in the clinical setting, you can have a single gene test or even just a hotspot. So it might be a very relevant variant that's seen a lot in disease, and so there may be a little test for that. Or you can screen an entire gene, which is a footprint in the genome, or you can screen panels of genes or all the genes. And you can go beyond that and screen the entire genome.
So that's called whole genome sequencing.
Whole genome sequencing, yeah. And so the scale of price will go up, because you need to actually assay more and sequence more.
So in a sense, Ancestry.com and 23andMe is like a scattergun approach. It's a snapshot,
yeah,
but nothing
right.
in great detail.
That's correct.
A lot you can hang your hat on.
Yeah, and very little discovery in that.
But when you get genomic testing, let's say in Queensland, it's not usually the whole genome sequence. Let's talk about in the hospital system.
Mm-hmm.
It's not usually the whole genome.
No, it's usually genes or panels of genes, or in some cases an exome. It's not usually a whole genome, yeah. So a whole genome cost to raw sequence data will be about $1,000.
Let's talk about the wins here in personalized medicine and what we've got out of it so far that creates this expectation that something marvellous could happen here. Nick, what sort of wins are there
being? Yeah, so I might talk in the field of the cancer space then. In cancer, what happens is DNA can acquire changes and mutations, and that can actually break gene function. And it makes the cells behave really, really badly and makes them grow, proliferate crazily, and eventually form a tumour. And so in cancer, what we're trying to do, we're trying to find all of those additional mutations that have occurred, because those additional mutations, they will actually tell us, one, why the tumour is potentially occurring, why it's growing, and also potentially how to treat it. And so if you think 40 years ago or so, or a few decades ago, having a diagnosis of cancer would have been terrible. Whereas I think now we're getting more tumours where a diagnosis is, people would say, oh, I'd rather have that cancer than that cancer. And that's because they're being treated better. And so some of those treatments are due to genomic precision type approaches.
Now, why doesn't everybody coming through the system, say with cancer, get their genome done? Is it just cost, or is it a waste of money anyway?
Cost comes into it. We have to be realistic about the cost of delivery of healthcare. But I think what's more relevant is the clinical application of that test and its usefulness in that disease, disorder, condition. So it really has to be led by clinicians who are saying, this is a relevant test at the right point in time for this patient in terms of a diagnosis that's going to give us some sort of additional information about how to treat that person. So it's really important that when we talk about genomics in the health system, as opposed to, you know, sort of the commercial testing or wellness testing, or I heard someone call it recreational genomics. But in terms of healthcare and medical delivery, this is really Chirag's area, is to say, how does that piece of information make a difference to the care for that patient and support the clinician in that interaction with the patient that helps to get a more effective diagnosis that's more accurate, more precise, maybe more personalised, if you like, and then what treatment comes and follows that. I think it's not long before clinicians are starting to consider prescribing devices, apps, those sorts of things where a person can respond something in a little bit more scientific method about how they went with a particular drug, what was their experience with that, did it make them feel nauseous, those sorts of things, rather than coming in to see a clinician going, I think I had this problem, I had a bit of a headache last week. So there's a raft of more
than
data.
The genomics.
That's kind of where I'm leading, is that the genomics is really important, but we have to think about it as another tool in the clinician's tool chest, and also where the patient's information comes into that as well, so that when we talk about patient-centric care, and I think this is why people lean on personalised care rather than precision, even though both the US and the UK would much rather talk about precision medicine at a clinical level, it tends to be described
as
personalised.
Which is giving the flavour of the targeting.
Exactly. So when Obama, you know, talked about the precision medicine program, he really referred to it as a personalised medicine program because it makes a lot more sense to people.
That's David Bunker from the Queensland Genomics Health Alliance and Dr. Nick Waddell speaking with Norman Swan. And you can hear more of that personalised medicine panel on the Health Report at 5:30 this afternoon or via the ABC Listen app. And you're listening to Lisa Miller on RN Breakfast. It's 7 minutes to 9.